I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome to King of the Road. We have a lot to get through this week, from the horrors of Rome to Manchester United this weekend and everything else in between. I'm joined by Charlie, the Hurricane Skillen, to talk us through it. And he's turned up with a suitcase and a duty-free bag of limoncello. For me?
I'd love to say so, mate. No, your presence in the suitcase.
Okay, great.
I'm knackered raw. You know, I've not been at home in my flat since before Bournemouth away.
So you left your house and you went to Bournemouth. You then stayed the night
in Bournemouth.
Flew to Rome. And have come straight here.
Straight from the airport to King of the Road Towers.
And later on tonight you are off to Noel Gallagher.
I am off to Noel Gallagher. I'm very excited about that.
So you have... It's a whistle-stop tour of Europe, almost, following football, fashion and music.
Yeah, well, that's sort of how I like to see myself.
I like it. Right, so the only place to start is the horror show of Rome. It's a city that has seen many violent acts over the years. You know, you've got the gladiators, you've got the Colosseum there.
Yeah.
But perhaps nothing was quite as unforgiving as that performance at the Stadio Olimpico.
Oh, God. It really was terrible. It really... was so poor. I really couldn't quite believe how off the pace we looked. I thought Conte got the team wrong from the start.
Did you think that at the time? Because Sophie did a pre-match review on our channel, and she thought it at the time. She didn't want to see Azpilicueta moved.
No, I can't stand him when he plays up there. I understand what he was doing, because Azpilicueta got beat very badly in the air at home by Dzeko, and that's kind of the only drawback of having him as a centre-half, is that teams tend to focus on his lack of height. But it's just not worth him playing out there. It seems so bizarre to me that the tenant on which such a successful season was built on last season was a really solid defence, everyone doing their job properly. That back five didn't change. And he seems to be changing it every game.
Well, do you know what? It'd be really interesting to do the maths on this and actually work out how many combinations of a back five we've tried this season.
Oh, yes. Too many is the answer. And the defending, which was kind of, as I said, was our strongest kind of asset last season, just looks... They literally don't know what they're doing. I mean, I watched some of the highlights on Twitter this morning, and some of the defending just... It's comical. We all of our three centre-halves like chasing the same bloke.
Yeah, there was that one move that's been highlighted massively. And I don't think that tells a full story. I think that's a very harsh picture.
It is, but... I mean, there are other problems in the park. You know, Cesc Fabregas can never, ever play in a defensive midfield role with only one man beside him. It just can't be done.
No, he's not a man for a two, I don't
think. But it's getting to the point, though. It's as pointless as playing Courtois up front. He just can't do it. And what it does, whoever's playing next to him, don't get me wrong, I don't think Bakayoko had a good game, and he's not been good for a while, really. But it means that someone else doing all the work. Fabregas can't actually focus on his asset to the team, which is, you know, passing creativity, because he's got to do too much chasing when he's about as quick as I am.
There was that moment, wasn't there, when he gave the ball away.
Yeah.
He was trying to get back, and he was running with lead boots on.
Yeah, I mean, and look, on a basic level, our passing's got to be so much better than it has been the last few games, particularly in Rome. Just giving the ball away all over the park.
It's not good. But
a lot of people have highlighted on Twitter that Bakayoko's song is not very truthful.
No, it's not an accurate song at the moment. But
although it is together with N'Golo.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So who knows whether it will remain accurate. Yeah. I think that we can be very harsh. The scoreline is obviously a harsh one. However, I think it's very important to remember that the game could have actually spun in a very different fashion. Had Morata scored that chance, had Bakayoko scored that header, suddenly you're going in at half time and it's two each.
I agree, don't get me wrong. I think we played very well, reasonably well in the first half. In fact, we kind of had the better of the possession.
And also, you can't legislate for a goal like that. No, goal was an exceptional hit.
Yeah, it really was.
It was a dazzling strike. What can you do? You can't plan for that 45 seconds into the game.
And the defensive error that led to the second as well. You can't plan for that because those mistakes will happen. Obviously, your job is to kind of minimalise that chance. But what that should do at half time is you go, right, look, take start, we're 2-0 down, but we're playing some good stuff, we've had some good chances. You'd like to think they'd kick on in the second half, you know, try and get one back, you know, really put Roma under pressure that they were under and amp it up a bit, but we were dismal in the second half.
Yes. Actually dismal. That is sadly very true. Mm. How was it anyway? How was the trip?
Rome? The trip was blinding. Never done the touristy bits of Rome, so that was really good. Went inside the Colosseum the day of the game, which was very, very good. It's one of the wonders of the world, isn't it? So it's definitely one to tick off the list. I must admit, I did actually try to leave the ground after the third goal, and there was such a backlog of people that they wouldn't let us leave.
No, they never do. Could anyone get out? No.
I think quite a few people got out immediately after the goal.
Right.
But then I think the stewards kind of realised that everyone was going to leave, so they just hemmed everyone in and we were kept in there for like 90 minutes afterwards.
It's far too long, isn't it?
Yeah.
It makes the whole trip such a nuisance that.
Yeah, I hate it, but I was with my dad who really hates it and he really gets the hump.
Yeah, it's not fun. It's not fun at all. But thankfully, the wonderful Carabag have done us a massive favour.
I know, that was so good. I mean,
Atletico Madrid have absolutely ballsed it up, haven't they?
Yeah, they really have, and it's fantastic news for us. And more to the point, I mean, the Roma fans either side of us were going ballistic when those sort of scores came through, because it means they're very likely to go through with us.
Yes.
It means that
we both need one more win from two more games.
Exactly.
So, and we're both playing the two weakest teams in the group. So
it's great news.
So it wasn't a bad night in a weird sort of way.
I think this is what the phrase silver lining on the cloud is made for.
Yes.
But Rome's a beautiful city. I was really taken aback by how you just travel down a street that doesn't mean anything to anyone, but still the architecture is just incredible. Sort of, we kind of got a bit lost looking at kind of different bits and found the most banging antipasti place. It was amazing. I had this tray full of meats and cheeses, like they tried to kill me, but it was very, very good. Found some nice little pizza places as well.
Yeah, Italy's just nice a safe bet, isn't
bars.
It
is
it's
really good.
Got it's beautiful food, beautiful architecture, lovely wine, beautiful looking women, beautiful people, lovely fashion.
Yeah.
Everything about it works. I reckon in another life I could be an Italian, swanning about on a Vespa.
Yeah, you'd suit that well, I think.
Yeah. Vespa, Ray-Bans, short shorts.
Puffer jacket
in the winter, sunglasses at all times.
Yeah, yeah. No, you'd be very good at that, I think.
Yeah, it's a really nice culture. And look, with a bit of luck, we could be going back to Italy because I feel that our progress is pretty much guaranteed in this competition. So there's a lot of gloom about the club at the moment.
So.
The mood amongst our support, particularly on Twitter and other sort of public forums, It's gloomy. People are not feeling good about it. And I understand that because we're coming off the back of a 3-0 whooping.
Yeah.
But, conversely, when you go into a group like this, it's a tough group.
We've made it harder than it
is. The point
is
to get through it.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
And it's looking like that will happen.
Yeah. No, it'd be a disaster at this stage if that doesn't happen. It would take some freak results elsewhere and it would take us to gnaws it up massively, which we look utterly capable of doing at the minute.
Well, this is a problem because I still don't quite know what's going to happen with us. Like, I don't know if, you know, there's been glimmers with Morata, and I think there's been times where he's looked excellent. You know, you think about, say, his performance away at Stoke, where he was unplayable, and you think, fantastic, but
he needs a goal to me, Morata.
It's not Diego Costa, is it? He's not dragging his team to victories that perhaps they don't deserve. He's not scoring goals not even in the market for.
I think they rushed him back a little bit too quickly. I think Conte was so desperate to have him play rather than Batshuayi. And I think it's setting back a little bit. I think he's kind of feeling the pressure a little bit. He's kind of, we knew when he came that he wasn't, he's not of the character that sort of deals with a load of pressure very well and deals with kind of, like you say, having to drag the team through. He's kind of, I think from what I've kind of read and learned about him anyway, he seems to be a player that, that needs conditions for him to perform, which is fine. I mean, we've invested a hell of a lot of money in him and he is an incredible striker on his day. So obviously that those conditions are worth creating, but obviously it doesn't always go your own way.
Yeah, sometimes. I know, it's a shame. And I think that the atmosphere away at Rome when you're losing, it just wasn't for him, was it? And it's such an intense atmosphere there. Like, you know, I was looking into the history of the football teams of Rome, and it's so interesting. You know, originally there were about 8 teams in Rome. This is like going, honestly, right, this
done,
is going back.
Done a bit of research, incredible.
Oh, I find it so interesting. And it's such a, do you know what happened? When they came to Stamford Bridge, their support at Stamford Bridge was so enthralling and so partisan and so loud and so passionate that I had a little read up. And I did find it fascinating because there was about eight teams in Rome. And I think in the late 20s, when, you know, I think a wave of fascism and patriotism was passing across the country.
Absolutely.
They decided that Rome, although it's sort of positioned in the middle of Italy, culturally it's very southern. And they want, and you know, that represents like the true Italian feeling.
Yeah, they didn't get on.
Exactly. They wanted the capital of the country to be a powerhouse of football, to challenge the northern superpowers.
Yeah.
So what they managed to do was get 8 of these teams to form one united team called AS Roma.
Yeah.
They adopted the city's colours. They adopted, like, the emblem is Romulus and Remus and the wolf and all of that, right? They've really, really embraced everything that it is to be a Roman.
Mm-hmm.
One club went, nah, we're not part of this.
we're not part of this. Yeah.
We're absolutely not. Basically gave a massive V sign at the proposed idea. That club, Lazio.
And they hate you.
And as a result, you can see why they would.
Yeah,
because if you're a Roma fan, you'd say, you're turning your back on being a Roman, you're turning your back on the colours of the city, all that sort of stuff. And equally, if you're a Roma fan, you go, a Lazio fan, you go, you're not even a real club.
Yeah,
you're an amalgamation. So, it was like fascinating
history.
But you can see why they're so passionate and why they're so tribal and why they're so aggressive.
Yeah, they really do hate each other. It was interesting, actually. I mentioned my old man out there. You're walking around the streets and obviously there's loads of shops selling shirts and scarves and stuff. And we were like right in the middle of the city. And it was all Roma stuff. It was like picture Totti.
Really?
And Roma scarves and flags and whatever. And I was like, you don't see any Lazio gear anywhere. And I wondered if that's because like it was very much the centre of the city and Lazio's kind of a little bit more...
Well, it is that.
A little bit more outside. Yeah. And interestingly, there was a bar right by our hotel where we ended up both nights, actually. But before the game, we were kind of in there talking to the guys in there. And those were the only two Lazio fans we met. So this was like a Lazio bar. And they were like absolutely buzzing for us to win.
Yeah.
And like we had a really good chat, actually. Like I gave them some of the Chelsea stickers and whatever.
But I think that's
when we returned afterwards and they were like,
gutted.
What have you done to us?
I do think that's where it comes from, because I think that Lazio are traditionally, I'm being very stereotypical here, but I think traditionally their supporters, if you're a Lazio, you would be from slightly further outside the city.
Yeah.
You're not part of the cosmopolitan ideals of Rome. Yeah. Perhaps your background is farming. It's that sort of the difference.
You're very conservative.
Exactly. So yeah, it's but I did find it all fascinating. I think the landscape of Italian football.
It's got such a fascinating history and culture and
Italian 90 would have been my dream. You know, if I could go back to any moment in time, you know, some people are like, oh, you know, wouldn't it have been wonderful to be at any particular event? For me, it would be to just be 25 at Italia 90.
Following England
at Italia 90. Can you imagine?
Yeah, blinding.
Yeah, really Gazza doing his thing. David Platt scoring goals against Belgium. Like knocking Cameroon out. Watching that Roger Miller celebrate.
It's a fantastic book about following England in Italia 90, which you should read. It's called All Played Out. It's a blinding book.
But mate, it's on the to-do list. Guaranteed.
For Christmas.
Guaranteed. So, I'll hold you to that. So, Rome happened, but it's not the end of the world. We're going to qualify, barring a disaster.
Yeah.
we have a small matter now to focus on of welcoming Manchester United and Jose Mourinho to Stamford Bridge on Sunday.
Yeah, I must admit, I'm not particularly looking forward to it. I don't for 1 minute think I'm saying, like, Chelsea are definitely going to get beat, or, but I just, it's just one of those occasions, and Chelsea seems to do this a lot to themselves, which is make such a nuisance out of one game. That game's huge now. I mean, it's a huge game anyway. It always is, Chelsea, Manchester United. But you think the various kind of narratives at play, and now Conte's coming off the back of a dodgy run, a disastrous result in Europe. And it's the last team that I want to face.
And you weekend. Can kind of imagine Mourinho being so up for this.
Don't. I'm kind of already... I really need to sleep because I'm really tired, but I feel that I won't now.
Yeah, I know. However... Our record against Manchester United is excellent.
It really is, yeah.
Not only in the Abramovich era, we have always had an excellent record against Manchester United. Yeah, when Manchester United won the double in 94, we beat them at Stamford Bridge that year. We actually beat them at Old Trafford that year
Gavin
as well.
Gavin Peacock, I'll Lord and Savior.
Exactly. but, yeah, he has gone, he's very much he, become he our very, Lord and Saviour, hasn't
much.
He?
Become our Lord and Saviour. He's
in Canada, I think. He's a
priest or
priest.
Pastor.
Yeah, yeah. However, we've had an excellent record against Manchester United over the years, and I do think, I always believe that when the chips are down, when it's necessary for Chelsea to win, when you desperately need them to win, they pull it out of the bag.
Oh,
they pull a result out of the bag.
Yeah, look, well, we can't moan too much. We've been a hell of a lot luckier than most clubs.
But even when we haven't been good, we can remember something even more earlier than the period that I'm currently talking about. Just cast your mind back a couple of years to that season when we were terrible. We finished 10th. We had nothing to play for. One game, get a result against Tottenham.
Stop Tottenham winning the league.
Okay, done. No problem. Yeah. It does seem to be that with Chelsea, and I just think. Backs against the wall, as much as Mourinho will be up for this, and the Manchester United players are looking very good, they've had an excellent start to the season. I think if they had won that game again.
Life is full of awesome what-ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Against Huddersfield, it would have been their best ever get start to a season.
It's incredible. You think some of the teams they've had as
exactly.
Well.
So, you know, they have really started. They've come out of the blocks flying. And if it wasn't for Manchester City's brilliance, we would be focusing on United.
Definitely.
However, our players will be up for this. They now have a point to prove.
So.
But they will be because some of them have a bit of an edge with Mourinho anyway.
Yeah.
Look at what happened last year at Stamford Bridge. 4-0.
That was fantastic.
We were 1-0 after 30 seconds. Pedro, yeah, weren't we?
It was. Even Kante scored. He loves a goal against United.
He scored
United.
Twice, yeah.
Get your money on him for first goal.
Yeah.
So I think he was rested for this game. I'm really hoping that's true anyway.
Yes. The trouble is, do you rush him back in a game?
Yeah, absolutely. It's such a crucial game.
It's a baptism of fire, isn't it? Throwing him in against Manchester United.
We look so poor in midfield without him.
But you need... Look, I appreciate we need him, but we don't need to... We don't need an injured Kante.
Yeah, but it's an international break after this game. And this...
Okay. Play him and knacker him for France.
Yeah, sod France, mate.
Okay, yeah, I think you're probably right. I think we have to play him. And then who do you play alongside him? Do you drop Fabregas?
Yeah, I would certainly.
Oh, do you know what? I agree. Because I think at some point you have to say Danny Drinkwater needs to start.
Yeah,
needs an opportunity.
I'd be up for that. I mean, I think...
Let Kante and Drinkwater try and resurrect
the Leicester magic.
Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, the other thing you might do is play is play five in the middle, or sorry, five in midfield, you know, with Fabregas as a kind of number 10. But
you play Bakayoko. I still think you could do that, but play Bakayoko.
Play Bakayoko.
So you play Bakayoko, Kante, Drinkwater.
That's fearsome.
Yeah, well, it will win lots of tackles, which is what it's going to be about.
Oh, it's good. I mean, you know what Mourinho is going to do. Yeah. You know what he's going to set up.
He'd be there for
do.
A draw, won't he, Mourinho? He'd be hoping to nick it, but he'd be there for a draw. He went to Anfield for a draw.
I know. I do worry about United. I just kind of think they could smell blood. Look, don't get me wrong. They're not going to come and free-flowing attacking and try and beat us 4-0. But they'll fancy nicking it.
Mm.
But the other thing, I think Pedro's got to play. I think he's got to play three up front. Because obviously playing three in the middle means you've got to drop Pedro, doesn't it?
Yes, yes, it does.
Because obviously you don't drop Hazard, and I just think we need more attacking outlet against them.
So what, you wouldn't go for the five?
No, I probably wouldn't go Kante and Drinkwater just because that's probably two players that aren't as fit as they could be. I'd probably go Kante and Bakayoko.
Kante, Bakayoko, and then the three up front.
Yeah,
I think that's probably a good shout. Yeah, I think if you sit back against Manchester United, you're asking for trouble.
Yeah, well, look, I mean, you sit back against teams like that, and sometimes it only works if you are drilled within an inch of your life and everyone is on top of their game, which they're clearly not. And teams like that, they've got more than enough talent to nick it, you know. Bit of magic from someone like Martial.
Yes.
You know, bends it in the top corner and then...
Yeah, what can you do? And then you're 1-0 down against the Mourinho team and you're really in it.
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
So I think you're right. I think they have to come out...
Looking forward to this.
You have to come out fighting. But how do you feel? Do you feel like we're going to win?
I'll be honest. If I'm sitting there on Sunday night with 1 point in the bag, I'd take that.
You take a draw?
Take a draw, yeah.
I'm not convinced that I would take a draw. I don't think we're in a position in the league where we can do that anymore. We've boxed ourselves into a corner with defeats at Crystal Palace, for example. That means you have to win
to have any chance. That was good, wasn't it?
Yeah, you have to win your home games, regardless of who they're against.
Don't get me wrong, a win would be such a huge statement and it would kind of set everything on the right path again, but I would definitely take a draw.
Yeah, I wouldn't. I think we have to go. I think everybody listening to this is actually going to agree with me here, Charlie. I don't think we're in a position.
That's what usually happens. I usually get slagged off.
No, that's not true. I've been coming in for an awful lot of stick. You remember it was only a few weeks ago where I was being supremely trolled, which was...
It's one of my favourite parts of the
which
season.
Which was painful. Yeah, not only did we get battered by Crystal Palace, but I then became an internet sensation. It was all the wrong reasons. But... I think we're going to win. I really do. I think that as good as Manchester United are, I think that there are distinct weaknesses. And as bad as we are, I think that on our day we are flawless. Where necessary, we can be flawless.
Oh, if we turn it on.
Exactly. Yeah. If we manage to do it, we'll be fine. But it's certainly one that's exciting. It's one that I'm looking forward to. We'll just have to see how we go. You're off... You've flown in from
Gatwick.
Where did you fly in from? You're in Florence.
Yeah, I got a train to Florence this morning. Tried to have lunch in Florence because we had about an hour turnaround, and got to the place. It looked lovely, nice kind of nice oven pizzas and all the rest of it. And then the food took so long to come, we had to leave the restaurant because
Did you pay? What do you do in that scenario? So if you've ordered food, do you pay for it? Because it's not their fault that you've got to rush off. They didn't know how...
No, it's their fault they took 40 minutes to deliver a basic starter.
So did you not pay either?
No.
And somewhere in Italy, are they cursing these two English...
yeah.
These two horrible Fafan English men.
No, we got a drink, so we gave them the money for the two beers. And was like, look, we've got to leave. Right. I mean, literally what we ordered some sort of a charcuterie platter, if you will.
Right.
And it took 40 minutes. And there was people who came in the restaurant afterwards that we purposely didn't order anything that you had to
cook. Thought would take a long time, right. Okay.
And there's people
fair enough. So did you have the conversation? You said, look, I'm going to have to leave now, I'm sorry. I'll pay for the drinks.
Yeah, exactly.
And they were okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I mean, I couldn't understand them. I assume they were okay.
So are you starving?
Yeah, mate.
So what's the plan? You're going to go from here to watch Noel Gallagher in...
Bethnal Green.
In Bethnal
Green.
I'm
very excited about this. Right, this is kind of a secret gig.
Okay.
And that I won tickets for.
Right. You just let the cat out of the bag here. The two dozen people that listen to this podcast.
Yeah. They're getting a taxi to Bethnal Green now. He's filming for like a... He's doing some new tracks off the album he's got coming out in November or whatever it is. And I'm hoping he plays some classics as well, because I don't want to listen to a load of songs I've not heard before.
No, yeah, I'm sure he will. If he might let you do requests. If he shouts out any... Ooh. If he goes, any requests, what are you going to go for? If that were me...
I'd say, what are you talking like that for now?
If that were me, I'll go straight in, undoubtedly, for Slide Away.
Oh, I was about to say that.
That's what I'd go for.
I want to go Fade Away. I like that one.
Yes, it's equally a very good shout. But it will be good. So it's an intimate gig in Bethnal Green. Starving. This means pie and mash, surely. You're going to the East End of London.
That's a great shout, you know.
Can you get pie and mash this late?
Yeah, that Manzi's Gaff, what it was called.
Oh, yeah, mate. It'll be good.
Yeah, no. How did you get
tickets? Why have you got tickets to a secret gig?
Because International Man of Mystery. No, I'm obviously on their mailing list or whatever, and they said click here if you want to win tickets, and I've done it for loads of bands, and I never get to the thing. Obviously he's it's something for like iTunes or something, but they emailed me and said you've got tickets, and it's there's only about 600-700 people.
Mate.
So seeing someone like Noel Gallagher in a setting like that is going to be
quite, be superb.
Quite the experience.
It will be superb, because no band has had. It's certainly in my lifetime, no band has had an impact like Oasis.
An impact on you, or impact generally?
I'd say an impact, certainly an impact on me, but I'd say broader than that, an impact on the country.
No, and I don't think any band ever will again.
Well, yeah, I think you're probably right. I don't think... It was the perfect storm, wasn't it? You know, I had a bit of a chat with Rob on a previous podcast about the 90s, but it was the perfect storm. It was... London was a hub.
Yeah.
Britpop was going... New Labour were in, Cool Britannia was a thing.
And Oasis were, you mentioned it on the podcast, Oasis were the biggest show in town. I mean, Liam getting a haircut was front page news.
Do you know, I put Oasis's longevity and their popularity partly down to, obviously, Noel's brilliant songwriting skills, deserve a mention here.
Yeah,
Liam's distinctive... gravelly voice deserves a mention here.
Some of the best frontmen of all time.
Completely. But equally, Liam Gallagher's haircut deserves a mention here. That man has had a flawless haircut his entire life.
He wears the hell out of a jacket as well.
He's very good at wearing a jacket. He looks very cultured in a moccasin. But his haircut has been on point. He's such a handsome, like strikingly handsome bloke.
Yeah, he's 45 and he's still rocking the very good hairstyle. Yeah. I'm going to see him as well. Get this, right? So, you know, the Champions League starts again in March, whatever. Hopefully we're through. I'm actually doing a European away before that. I'm going with my mate to see Liam Gallagher in Barcelona.
When?
February 24th, I think.
February the 24th, been Barcelona to see Liam Gallagher. Mate, that could have my name written all over it. That does sound...
I'm just revealing this for the first time.
That does sound very appealing.
I only booked it last week.
No, that does sound very appealing. That'd be incredible.
But look, yeah. I mean, I was aware of them, obviously, in the 90s, but I was like kind of only, I was between 4 and 8 or whatever when they were at their absolute hype. You're sort of still aware of it because they're like...
Because they're
the biggest thing in the country. But I won't, in terms of my kind of musical listening, I'd say they're probably my most important band because I was obsessed with them when I was a teenager, sort of 10 years after the fact. But they kind of opened so many avenues to me, you know. And you start listening to the whole history of British music and listen to what the Beatles were listening to when they kind of made their great albums, and you know all the soul records from the 60s as well. And you know, people kind of slag Oasis off for being very derivative of the 60s and certain bits of the Beatles. But in terms of formulating what you listen to going into your adult years, I think it was very important, and I think...
And also, there's nothing wrong with that. Like, there's nothing wrong with being influenced by previous generations. It's like the Arctic Monkeys have clearly been influenced by Oasis. There's nothing wrong with that at all. In fact, it'd be very odd if it wasn't the case.
You'd be hard... I mean, you're very hard-pushed to find an artist who you can't trace the influences.
Yeah, and do you know what? I don't know if a record has ever been made since, or arguably... ever that has that is as flawless as either one of Oasis's first two albums. There is not a bad track.
No.
Like, you know, I thought that that record that the Arctic Monkeys recently brought out at AM was incredible.
That's
I really
a good
did.
Album, yeah.
Right, but there's still one or two songs on it that I can live without. I can skip.
Yeah.
You will not, if you put What's the Story Morning Glory on, you will not skip. You will never use that button.
No.
You will never ever do it. If you put Definitely Maybe on, you won't skip. No. What you'll probably do is you'll go back and listen to Supersonic twice.
Yeah, exactly.
You'll have it on twice.
I mean, the other incredible thing, and this kind of makes them the last band of that era you were talking about last week and in the 90s, is the B-sides are incredible. I mean,
yeah.
Oasis B-sides...
Well, they did an album of B-sides, didn't they?
Yeah,
The
Master Plan, which was kind of a collection of the ones that went before.
Yeah, you're right, though. It's mad. Well, how is Acquiesce not... How is that not on an album?
That would be 10 of the bands you could name right off the top of your head, that'd be their best song.
Oh, by a mile, yeah.
And
it's in Oasis.
Yeah, of course. I mean, they could do a... If they reformed tomorrow and did their sort of best-known 20 songs or whatever a gig, you know, there'd definitely be three or four B-sides in there, which is incredible because B-sides just aren't a thing anymore.
Yeah.
You get bonus tracks on albums, but they're always some sort of poxy remix.
But yeah, you're right. When I think about that Master Plan album, I think you go, Stay Young, Rocking Chair, The Master Plan itself.
Mm.
They are all songs that could quite easily be put together on a best-selling album,
Absolutely. Not
a B-side album.
Yeah. I mean, something like Talk Tonight. Your man on the street knows Talk Tonight.
Yeah, Talk
that
Tonight
song.
Is a beautiful song. Going into their catalogue to just demonstrate quite how wonderful they were. You know, there's a song, I ended up with sort of a bootleg version of CD. This is when I was at university. Went over to Manchester, ended up with this bootleg CD. Had to listen to it. They've got this song, it's called Take Me.
Yeah.
It's not on any album. It hasn't even made the cut.
It was
to
before,
be on a
Definitely
beast.
Maybe, wasn't it?
Such a good song.
Yeah.
So good. Whenever I don't have that CD anymore, but occasionally, you know, on YouTube, I just have a... Once I finish watching CFC Fan TV,
I
have a little play with, you know, what's going on, listen
to
some music.
Yeah, you watch my preview from Rome.
Watch your preview from Rome, of course, standing next to a drill. Lovely work, Charlie.
Sorry, I had the Colosseum in the background, mate. What else do you want?
And, but I'd have a listen to that, something like Take Me.
Yeah.
And you think, when you think of some of the dross that came out of, like, the British music scene in the past 10 years.
Yeah.
That was just wonderful music.
Yeah, it was incredible. And it was, I think the point was as well, that music's incredibly uplifting.
Yes.
And it's all about escapism. It's all, you know, and the lyrics get slagged off a bit, but it's all about...
I think you can slag the lyrics to a degree, but I don't think that you can give it the grief that, like, I mean, as much as I think that, you know, people will often say that John Lennon was a wonderful lyricist, but he also came up with "I am the walrus, I am the Eggman, goo 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 choo." So we have to kind of put it in perspective. And equally, while Oasis have, I mean, I was never, you know, thank you for the sun, the one that shines on everyone.
Yeah,
perhaps not for me. That's
Who Feels Love.
That's a sort of shining example of one of their poorer lyrics. But there's equally some things that are very deep, very meaningful, and very beautiful.
And they're incredibly universal, which is why 1 in 20 people apply for tickets for Nebworth.
Yes,
in the UK.
Yeah,
it's incredible. And I remember kind of talking to one of my mates who goes to Chelsea. Actually, but he's my dad's age. He's absolutely music fanatic. He's got a Chelsea season ticket, but he's kind of more into music than he is football. And he was saying for that period of 18 months, 2 years, you go to any pub in the country, stick Oasis on the jukebox, and the whole pub, whether that was the 16-year-olds there drinking illegally or the 80-year-old man sat at the bar, they'd all be singing.
Yes.
And and it united the whole country, and there's never been a band like that. And I think because of the way the public and we obviously consume music, I don't think there will be again.
No, I think you're probably right. And equally, I don't think you're going to have the perfect concoction of...
Mm.
It just worked, didn't it? You had Noel's brilliance, you had Liam's arrogance, you had the way they looked, you had Manchester backing them. It was just perfect.
I mean, you talk about YouTube, and obviously you could watch Oasis concerts for hours. You could watch Oasis interviews for hours.
When I was a student, I had a video of There and Then.
Oh yes,
and I watched that. Oh, they played Main Road.
Yeah,
they played Main Road, which is Man City's old ground. If you're younger than me, and it looked like one of the most mesmerizing experiences. You know, to be there, you're part of history, you're part of something. And for that reason, I mean, when you know, if you do, you know, when people do those imaginary dinners where you go, four people you can pick, or just your four best people that you could possibly meet.
Do I make your cut?
Yes, fourth. But Liam Gallagher for me would always be on that.
Yeah, absolutely.
He would, you know what, that's a podcast in itself. We should have a think about that and do it.
Get him on.
Yeah. But yeah, it's, you know, Antonio Conte would certainly be on it.
Yeah.
But yeah, it would be a very exciting, interesting thing to do. So, Noel Gallagher tonight.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. The gig's very early. The gig's at about 8.
Lovely. In which case, we should probably think about wrapping this up to allow you to get over to
Bethnal Green. I'm buzzing to get out of here, don't get me wrong.
Right, so, Rome, we're going to put in the ancient history.
Yeah.
The ancient history category.
Very nice.
See what I did?
Very nice.
We're going to look forward to Manchester United. You thinking a draw, I'm thinking a win.
Yeah.
And you're going to go and have a drink with Noel Gallagher tonight.
That'd be great.
If you can have a word with him and see if you could do next week's podcast, that'd be wonderful.
That'd be brilliant. He can hit back at Liam because Liam's been slagging him off a bit.
Oh, Charlie, thank you so much for coming on. And guys, thank you all so much for listening. What I would like to ask you to do is I would like to finish these segments with a Q&A. So if you would go onto iTunes, go onto the comments section and leave your questions. When we sit down next week, I will do my best to answer as many of them as possible. Thank you very much for listening. And if you haven't subscribed, please do it now. Hugely appreciated. See you next week. Ta-ra.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers. With rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's Stamps.com. Code Program.